I'd like to bring to order the Board of Trustees of Jerusalem Township meeting December 11th, 2018, to order. I request a moment of silence and will recite Pledge of Allegiance after that.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Roll call, Joe.
Okay, roll call, Mark Settler.
Present.
Bo Miller.
Present.
Dave Bench.
Present.
Roll call complete.
Is that, I couldn't hear you.
Roll call complete.
Okay. Okay, we need the approval of the minutes from November 27th, 2018, regular meeting.
I did get a chance to look these over, but since I was not here at the last meeting, I'm not going to make a recommendation on these.
Now the meeting can start. There it goes.
I move for acceptance of the minutes.
I can second that.
Okay, roll call. Bo Miller. Mark Settler.
Yes.
Dave Bench.
Yes.
Motion carried.
Okay, Joe, we'll go on to the fiscal officer's report.
Your pile of fun is as usual. Let's start with the receipt detail, fund status, and payment listing. Somebody has two payment listings and one fund status. What we got? Anybody?
I got a receipt detail. I don't fund status. I know I need a payment listing.
No. Well, you get that. I'll let you have a copy of this after I read it real quick.
Okay.
So we have three electronic payments, 172-2018 through 174-2018, and then warrants 17120 through 17181, totaling $56,349.88. He has one. Oh, you don't have one?
I don't have one.
Looks
might
like
be
that.
On my desk.
Share his? Okay.
Yeah, I'm sharing his.
Okay, so there's the payment listing. You also have fund status. In Star, Ohio, we have $582,470.45. In Krogan, checking $239,951.45. And the one report I have four of, which you have maybe one of, is the deposits since last meeting, totaling $22,673.22.
Having some good months over at Maumee Bay there.
Yeah.
Well, that's right, you did play Lake Erie Tree, okay.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody's paid us from Cedar Point Road yet, have they?
Correct.
Might have to go bounce them off.
I know a guy who knows a guy. big pipe. Not skinny like Mark. He'd have to be a big guy. I'd send him over.
So I send you with your...
No. Don't send Santa either.
I need a motion to approve the fund status and the payment listing. And I guess we might as well put it on there, the receipts that we went through.
I can make a motion to accept the fiscal officer's report, the fund status, the receipt detail, the payment listing, electronic 172-2018 through 174-2018, and warrants 17120 through 17181, totaling $56,349.88.
I'll second that.
Okay, roll call. Mark Sattler.
Yes.
Dave Bench.
Yes.
Bo Miller.
Yes.
Motion carried. Okay, follow up on the scary IRS tax letter. Called them a couple times, finally got a hold of somebody, you know. And I just had to send them some reports. I'm waiting to see if we have a tax liability, but the woman indicated maybe not, or a penalty.
Okay. So far, so good.
But then I received another one this week for 2016, so... I'll find out what that one's for. It sounds like it's the same type of problem where in the past required reports, maybe not payments, but required reports were not submitted. And so either they send us a scary letter we owe, or please send. So this one was a please send this form, 941 to be exact.
And how old were these reports? I wasn't here at the last. This happened the last meeting.
One was 2015, and I think this one was 2016 that I just received. Another one had a dollar amount, and it was like for the whole year. And this one was just indicating one quarterly report.
I know they were prior to you.
Yeah. So the thing is that takes them that long to catch those things that aren't in error, right? So they're finally going through their stuff far back. So, but yeah. Good stuff. So far, I haven't had to pay anything. So that was carryover from last time. And then I also have with you, and I know you guys might not talk about this during my report, but in this binder clipped legal paper packet, say that four times, is...
How about that?
I need your chicken scratch.
What I've done so far for getting us ready for appropriations for 2019. I'm missing road and bridge and general fund, all the others are done. And so if you have any questions now or later, you'll get road and bridge and you'll get the general fund emailed to you. And then we'll mark it up, do what you need to do.
Very good.
Okay. Thank you.
Year-end stuff, I guess, for the accounting system, and I'll have an update I got to run, which allows us to go into 2019, but also can go into 2018, so we can go into 2019 year and still work out of 2018. So what I will do is continue to pay 2018 stuff in 2018, and then obviously get ready for temporary appropriations and then permanent appropriations. So the software it's a scary thing in that I will say that the update has to take and not have any trouble. So I'm going to do that update at the very end of the year after I get as much paid as I can so we don't have any issues. So, and then they update the tax tables at that time and all those other important updates that are required. So the plan is to, which will happen, I'm afraid, but remember I talked about I needed to give the county what we think we're going to finish spending this year and what we're going to carry over and what we're going to spend next year. I'm going to give them that sheet, but it has nothing to do with our appropriations for next year. It's more just a snapshot of how we ended this year, and they already know what we're going to receive from them next year. So that's completely different than this appropriations exercise. That makes sense to you guys? Okay. Big smiles. Kind of nice. Okay.
Add it then, Joel?
Yes.
Anybody else have a question for Joel?
Not this time.
I need a motion to approve the fiscal officer's report.
So moved.
I can second that.
Okay, roll call. Dave Bench?
Yes.
Mark Sattler?
Yes.
Phil Miller?
Yes.
Motion carried. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Why don't we... We'll put Julie on the agenda here so she can go through this and we can get her out of here so she doesn't have to sit here all night.
It's up to you guys. Don't marry me.
You got one.
This is your medical mutual renewal. Everybody might update a card here too. So January 1st, 2019 is a renewal.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah, we got lots of them now.
So with this, we quoted it out and everything, you know, with other companies. So the first column is what you have now on that first sheet. And then the premium is down there, the monthly premium. The second column is basically what the renewal came back at the 20%. So the third column is what Medical Mutual came back when they found out we were quoting it out and everything, came back at a 10%
increase. And that was after the form fire
was
submitted.
Mm-hmm. Yep. So so if you look at that third column, and then basically kind of like the last column there is what the quotes were coming back at. As you can see, you know, they're a lot higher with the ACA rates. You know, every year, you know, we've said, you know, if you got your grandma or grandpa plan, keep it, you know, because they're going to push you to ACA. Well, here we are, like, you know, 3 or 4 years later, and we still have your regular plans, which is good, because, you know, who knows in the future if they go to push you to the ACA, we may be looking at that there,
right.
You know.
Right.
So basically on the third column, with the renewal, it's still the same deductible, 3,000 individual, 6,000 family. And then the employer HRA funding is $1,500 for individual, $3,000 family. It's 100% after the deductible. So the out-of-pocket maximum is $3,000, $6,000, but for the employee cost, it's $1,500, $3,000. Okay. Everything else is 100% after that then. And then down at the bottom, it has the monthly premium, and then they just put it annual with that. Now you guys have, you know, some census change and everything. So, you know, this isn't exactly what it is because of some of the apps that have come and, you know, take on and take offs and all that. But it's basically, you know, you're going to have
comparing
that
apples
same
and apples here.
Percentage, right? Exactly. So it's a 10% increase. Where they have the maximum HRA liability, that would be if everybody hit their maximum HRA that you contribute, okay? So the maximum plan cost, the premium plus the HRA, would be that $83,200, okay? But right now, you're kind of at 67% of the HRA, what you're using. So that's where that $7,649 comes in. So actually, the premium with the HRA plus the monthly premium would be that $75,849. So the 9.39% is where they take the HRA plus the premium with the difference there. Okay. Everybody follow me or interrupt me too if you have any questions. I get to talking fast. So basically on the fourth column there, you have an option to increase your deductible to $4,000, $8,000 if you want to. The employer HRA funding would go to $2,500, $5,000 instead of $1,500, $3,000. It's still 100% after the deductible, and basically the out-of-pocket would stay the same, the $1,500 individual, $3,000 family, but as you can see at the bottom there, it's a savings from even what your premium is now, okay? So basically, you increase your deductible, brings the premium down so you can put more on the HRA. Okay. So it shows there with the monthly premium, the annual premium, and then what the savings is at, and then the maximum HRA liability would be if everybody hit that HRA amount. So then it'd be the $85,965. But right now you're kind of at 67%, right, which you've been paying on the HRA, so that's where the $76.49 comes in. So it's actually the $68,614.
So Julie, let me make sure I understand these figures. Thank you very much. So if we move off of the plan that we've had and we move to the 4,000, 8,000 plan, mm-hmm, and everything continues as history, which means that we'd be at a 67% utilization,
right,
the township would realize about a $7,000 savings.
Right.
Now, worst case scenario, if utilization goes through the roof and we hit our maximum, mm-hmm, the risk to the township would be that we could end up having to pay another about $2,500,
yep,
more than,
right,
than current.
Because the maximum utilization plus the premium would be that $85,965.
Right. And it was $83,000, yep, on our current.
Correct.
Mm-hmm. Correct.
So if the future is similar to our history, we could move to the 4,000, 8,000 and realize the $7,000.
Exactly.
Savings. Yeah.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Year after year.
And right.
Right.
Not just once, it's a year after year saving. I mean,
right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then there's no more exposure then to the employees.
Correct. Yep. It'd still be the same.
Okay.
Yep.
Same. Mm-hmm.
Great.
Yep.
Yes.
All right.
Because last year you had 11% increase. Mm-hmm. The year before that it was 5.3. So with the increases.
And next year it could be even worse.
Yeah, next year.
Yeah, we don't know.
It could be 20%.
Or more. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it was 20%. They came down and knocked it down to 10. Once, you know, you did the forum fire, we quoted it out and everything.
Yeah.
So they did knock it down, you know, with that. And did a rewrite.
Yeah, make a motion or...
But if you did go to the 4.8, you still, you know, have the savings and everything.
Okay. All right. I move that we adopt the HSA 4,000, 8,000 plan so that the township can realize that $7,000 savings if our future utilization is consistent with our history.
Kind of a no-brainer.
I can second that.
Okay, roll call. Dave Bench.
Yes.
Mark Sattler.
Yes.
Bo Miller.
Yes.
Motion carried.
Okay. So just kind of review too, now's the time for open enrollment in December. If anybody that wasn't on the insurance wants to come on, you just need an application before the end of December, okay? If somebody loses insurance mid-year, you know, that gives them a qualifying event to come on. Independents are still covered up to age 26. The vision and dental doesn't change, that's all still the same. And the life insurance is still the same too, so. And then I always tell everybody to just check your census, like when you get the bill or if you go online and pay stuff, just to make sure who's on there is supposed to be or, you know, stuff like that. The next couple pages will give you individual premiums of each person and how much that is. You know, they go by age and spouse and children. So you can kind of add up, you know, if somebody new comes on, then you can kind of get the premiums off of there. That'd be the third page. So, actually, the fourth page is the Medicare carve out. So that's why that one's a little different on there with the different prices.
If Dave reaches 105, he's gonna have high insurance.
Well.
And then one other thing is this sheet here, the last page. That's your toolkit, your website toolkit. Just give everybody a copy of this that is on the insurance. Because, you know, you're required to give everybody a summary of benefit and coverages, and actually everything is on that toolkit website. So just give everybody a copy of that and you'll be legal. Then if you want to make a change, when you see just Joel signed, you can fax it back to him too. Put the 4,000, 8,000 on there, and then
Sounds good, Julie.
All right.
Julie, thank you for all your help.
You're welcome.
This and thanks for coming up.
You're welcome. Yep. We appreciate your business. Anything, you know, comes up, anything you need, you know where I'm at.
Oh, yeah. Right?
Thank you.
We got your number.
Guys, have a Merry Christmas.
Thanks.
Yeah, same to you.
All right, thank you
very much.
Yep, nice meeting you.
Nice, Julie.
Yep.
Okay. Yeah.
So does that mean that Benny cards go to 4,000 then?
I'm sorry, the what?
The Benny cards that the township presently pay for, do they go to 4,000? Because on the last policy, ours was 3. If you're moving it to 4, does the Benny card go to 4,000?
Yeah, I remember we talked about that.
Yes, the benefit card moves up by, yeah, let me see here. The benefit card actually goes up to 5,000 for family. So the difference between what's on the benefit card, instead of 3,000, the benefit card will be 5,000, and the total out of pocket moves from 6,000 up to 8,000, but the employee exposure, which is the difference between the benefit card of 5,000 and the total,
yep,
exposure, total 8,000.
1,500 per person.
For a single is 1,500, and for a family it's 3,000. The employee exposure is unchanged from the previous year. It just, both numbers move, but the gap is still the same.
Well, I just wanted to make sure that card went up, that she was talking about exposure, and I didn't hear that.
Right.
Because when we moved to the policy, we just left. Would have been 4 years ago, 5 years ago. We actually saved 18,000 when we moved then.
Mm-hmm.
But you got to also look at the trustee we lost at that 67%. That card was getting maxed out every year, where now you're not going to have that exposure. So I would assume that 67% is going to go down.
Well, that's great if that
is
drops.
What I'm assuming with that, especially the last few years. Mm-hmm. So.
Okay.
All right.
Any other questions on the insurance? We're almost set. Okie doke. We'll move on to fire department report. Mr. Parcelletti.
Well, good evening, everyone. My safety message is tonight is it is the cold and flu season. Simply washing your hands is one of the very best defenses. And to help yourself as well, avoid contact with others that may be under the weather, and get plenty of rest. Moving on, in the station, the trench drain project has begun today. And very pleased they've moved along very quickly and seem to be working along efficiently with all high hopes of having everything done maybe by Friday. I'm not sure when we'll be able to reload the concrete with the weight of the vehicles, but he'll let us know that. So next item, we've been pretty busy with runs, both EMS and fire, both receiving mutual aid and giving mutual aid. So it's kind of going, we're all just kind of going back and forth on, you know, what's going on for us. But we're in the 366 range of runs this year so far.
Wow.
So, we'll see where we end up. There's been a lot of interest from the area departments, and so Jerusalem is going to take the lead on organizing a ice rescue exercise for probably the end of January, 1st of February, and that'll be out at Maumee Bay State Park. So I think I've mentioned this before, but we're gonna begin moving more forward to that. We have been participating, or I have been, on the fire department side, been participating with a company, Personal Concepts, for employee postings. And I would like one of the trustees to help me get involved in this. And I'm not so sure this is the only company in town. And I'm not so sure that the fire department needs to incur the entire expense of these posters and postings and all of this. So if maybe one of the trustees could help me with this, I'd like to look at that and utilize, now we are required by law to put our postings up, similar to what you see there.
So these are...
They change every year, so...
These are required HR postings?
They are.
Okay.
Yep. So BWC, you know, advises us on these two, so for us to be compliant, all I'm sharing with you is I've mainly been, the fire department's been mainly the one purchasing them and then posting them. I would just like the trustee, a trustee, to be involved with it. I'm a little bit getting nervous about this company. It just seems like every other month I'm getting a request for another one or something else and something else. And I don't know that I want to continue doing business with someone that's just trying to solicit us to buy all these freaking postings. I just want to post what's required and be compliant, because BWC, when they do visit, they do look for them. So it's part of their activity on an audit, which, you know, I've had it done a couple times for us, because we're the main ones that have been receiving grants from the BWC. So just something in the future that I would like to have some help with.
We should have that little Bureau of Worker Comp thing up somewhere. Is that up? It's in there? Is it? Okay. Mm-hmm.
The next item I have, we'll need some acknowledgement signatures from the trustees, is from the Department of Commerce, the 2019 Volunteer Firefighters Dependent Fund Certificate of Annual Election and board members. So it's really just filling in the blanks. The fiscal officer has some of the main responsibility to this. Myself and Ben Pfeiffer, we're voted on from the Fire Department's Association as members at large. So we're the two fire department participants, but each one of the trustees, I think, need to be listed. And then I'm not so sure if the fiscal officer is the actual chairperson, but these are the two documents that came with it. Look it over and see what you see there. So it's just a requirement that we're to fill out. The very next item I have for you, and I have a copy for each one of you trustees, is we're constantly adding and to our SOPs, SOGs. So what I've put together, and I've reviewed with my officers, and so I've tried to make it a little bit more transparent, a little more black and white on the identifications of when the fire personnel get paid, or what activity they do get paid for, and at what rate or what credit they will receive for the variations on their pay. I'm not asking for you guys, I'm giving it to you tonight. Look it over, dissect it, ask me questions. Bo will probably be the one that has the most intimate knowledge about this anyways, because he was a firefighter before. But on the very last page, I have a place for all of us to sign, myself as the chief and you as the trustees. We would print, sign, and date acknowledging it. This would be added to the SOPs that we currently have, which all have been accepted by the trustees. This is also as much for the firefighters so they can see how we're working it. And it's a conscious effort of trying to make sure that, you know, these people that are coming down and giving their time and doing this thing, this is just a small little token for their efforts. I mean, remember, the activities that they're participating in are sometimes encompass life and death activities and or exposure to diseases. So there's a lot of exposure that these people go through in that. Also trying to look at it from fiscally responsible for the township, too. You know, we're not a full-time department. We never had any intentions of being a full-time department. You know, we don't have the funding for that. But again, we're looking at these things to try and, one, put some clarity for this, and second, it's clarity for everyone. So, you know, you may read something and may not understand, or you may have some input in there. So again, I was only wanted to give this to you tonight, look it over, we can discuss, and then, hopefully by the end of this year, we'll be able to possibly adopt it and add it to the SOPs.
So, Chief, you're recommending that this go into effect January 1 of 19?
Yes. That's what I would like to see.
We have to do it at the reorganizational meeting.
Yeah, we got to do it at the reorg meeting.
Yeah, but it's, again, right. You've not, I don't know that
respectfully, Mr. Bench, I don't think you've seen a full definition of
how
the perception of pay is done.
Right, this is helpful.
This is mainly the practice that's been going on. It just has a little bit more clarity to it. Mm-hmm.
Is there a current SOP that covers 2018? So this is the first written document.
That's correct.
Are the pay scale, does this proposed pay scale for 2019 reflect our current operating practice?
The pay scale that you're seeing right there is the current pay scale.
That is the current. Okay. Okay.
Are you going to come back with a new one? Maybe you're going. I'm just asking.
I'm still allowing input from my officers, and I've even entertained. I've even solicited some of the firefighters to look at it. Give me your point of view. I'm trying to make sure that I've captured everything, because we have so many different little scenarios. And just wanting it to be fair across the board, you know. One view is, I encourage from my self and my staff that I want people to take on additional training. How the additional training is relevant and to what we do, you know, that's what we're going to improve. Only the training that is relevant and that can help us. So, but we don't get a huge amount of people taking on this. You'll see as you read through it, there's a stipend pay for the EMT and for the firefighter. You know, these people are going through this 160 or 170 hours of EMT training, they are receiving no pay whatsoever. So, you know, it's just a little bit difficult to tell your wife that, hey, I got to go to school two nights a week, 4 hours a night for 5 months or 4 months and be gone all this time. I'm just looking to say, hey, I think it's worth it. We give them a stipend, a one-time stipend that's only given if we get their certificate. If they do not pass and do not get a certificate, they will not receive the pay.
So that's new. That is not in
current
practice. Yeah. Okay, yeah. Right. Got it.
So.
Okay.
Okay, so that was that.
Which that's good, though.
That'll tie into some of the things that I had brought up.
Absolutely. Yep. Anything else, Chief?
Just checking my notes, and I don't believe so.
I have one item for you. Last time you talked with us about safety and the heating season.
Yes.
And here I've got a copy for you, Chief, to take a look at. So yep. I've gone ahead and drafted something for everybody to take a look at. If it's okay, I can ask our website designers to go ahead and put that out on the website for our township residents. What this does is this reminds everybody of the importance of having your furnace checked now that we're into the heating season, and it also points out that we are partnering, the fire department is partnering with the American Red Cross, and they have a grant, and any resident in the township who doesn't have working smoke detectors merely needs to call the fire department and leave a message, and the chief's team will call them back and will schedule a time to install smoke detectors in their home free of charge.
I think it's fantastic. That's good.
Okay. So I'll go ahead.
Did you see in the paper about the smoke detectors now? They've got where the parents can record their voice on the smoke detector.
Oh, really? Okay.
To
tell the kids to get out of the house? Yeah.
A lot more if the mother or the father is yelling instead of the thing going beep, beep, beep. Yeah.
That's a great idea.
It was done through a study that children recognize their parents' voice more than their mom.
Yeah.
It's just in the paper, wasn't it, I believe.
Yeah, I didn't see that, but that makes perfect sense. Yeah.
Tony, I was curious, too. You know that envelope I gave you with that the one business that went out of business? You know, did you have time to do anything with that or check that out? Or
I have not yet.
I'm just curious. I can't think of the name of the company. I give it to you, so I whatever. Okay, thank you, Tony. Appreciate it. we'll move on to the rec, what? Oh, I would be, yeah.
Kate asked Tony.
But, yes.
Ask trustees, I don't.
I don't think.
He wanted to ask me a question, he's asking permission too.
Why don't you say your name and everything, so it's on the tape?
James Boothby. Yes, I'd like to ask the chief, has the, we're talking about the ice rescues coming up and the training. Is that the same, the new trailer, is that what that's being used for also?
Yes, I mean, the new trailer encompasses, our, wildland fire response, so it carries the UTV.
Yeah.
That has a capability of a fire pump with, 70 gallons of water, currently it's empty now, we don't have water in it in the winter time. And then, it carries our flat bottom 15-foot tracker boat, which we have two outboard motors for that. And then we have what's called a Rescue Alive, which is a flotation device for us to maneuver onto, extremely thin ice or, conditions. So we can, one rescuer can maneuver out there and, successfully complete a rescue. So it's a, the trailer is an all encompassing,
Has that trailer made runs yet?
It is, no, this year we have not, we've.
What I'm leading up to is.
We haven't had a run yet for it.
What I'm leading up to is because of the extreme, you know, a lot of money involved in that stuff, what is the proper, do you have the proper vehicle to pull that in bad weather?
Yes, we do. Our excursion is more than adequate to, pull it. Also, our fire trucks, two of our fire trucks are capable of having a, hitch connected to them.
Regular side hitch.
Hitch, and, so the fire trucks can carry it. And, but yeah, the truck is, or the trailer, has its, brakes, and we have the brake system in the excursion. The fire trucks wouldn't need it because they have enough, stopping power for themselves. Yeah, so we have an alternate plan for that, and, the excursion is the primary vehicle that would be taking it, so.
Chief, I do have one thing for you, I totally forgot, been wanting to ask you. Where are we at with the old Medic 32? What's going on with the old squad?
Medic 32 is currently in the barn next door.
Okay.
Don Murray had it for a period of time to remove radios and remove the computer out of it. And so it's just going to be posted on Gov Deals, and or we can stick it up front and try and sell it. I was just looking, I don't know if you knew that Blitzfield Fire Department incurred a tragedy. They had a medic unit within their station house, and it consequently burned up, and then it caused damage to all of their equipment. We did reach out to them to see if they may be in need of a medic unit. Maybe to help them out a little bit. And I haven't heard back from them yet. Prior to that, I had reached out to Port Clinton. Port Clinton Fire Department has just elected to go back into the EMS service provider. So they actually acquired two medic units from Danbury Township. So the reason I chuckle is ever since we got our new medic unit, there's been about four or five departments that have purchased medic units similar to ours with the truck front end and all that.
But so it is
going back to your question, it's on my agenda to fill out the form, put it on Gov Deals, and sell the vehicle.
What, and the other thing, and I wasn't here at the time of when we purchased them, but wasn't that supposed to be traded into down there? Wasn't that originally part of the deal that I had heard?
Oh, it was an option, but you had been looking at pennies on the dollar for it.
Okay.
They were only offering like maybe $2,500.
Okay.
For a vehicle that's got 38,000 miles, it's a diesel and
yeah.
Okay. It's actually quite.
Well, I'd like to see us try and get rid of that as soon as we can, just because I mean we've had a year and a half now, you know, not a year and a half. We've had over a year. Like to get rid of it before something happens to it, and then it's really worth nothing to us, you know. Right. Let's just try and get that taken care of and get it on there. So, okay.
Yes, sir. Will do.
Thank you.
Thank you, Tony. Okay, we'll move on to the Recreation Department report. Mike?
Okay, programming-wise, the girls' basketball will finish on next Tuesday. Seem to fly by, but it's over. Right after the break, then the boys' basketball and the volleyball will start. which is always a struggle with gym time with the two things going on at the same time, but that's coming up first part of January. What I've been doing here a little bit is I have like 20 baseball mitts that are lost and found. I'm trying to donate some stuff. I didn't want to get rid of them until I told you guys what I'm doing with them. So I'm looking at a couple of charities that I can't donate any protective equipment. But I can donate the lost and found mitts and some of the older bats that we have. I would hate to just throw that stuff out. So I am going to, I've been looking, I think I got a couple places. I'm just going to donate it to them and then report back to you guys once that's done. And another thing I've been doing is taking the helmets apart that are no good. I can save the pads and I can save the face mask, but the shells are going to have to be tossed. So I'm in the process of doing that now. I will type it all up and hand it to you so we can zero value it, and then I can just throw them out. So that's what's going on with that. It'll make some more room in there, and it needs to be gone. So I will take care of that over Christmas. I did do some research with the walkway, and I did get a call from Belcoffer. He said he will give me a price. He has not got me a price yet. And then I mentioned to him the school connecting part. He said when he gives me a price, he says divide that price by the foot. Take the foot, the length of that, and I'll give you the price for that. So I'm waiting for that. But I did that for the Blousy, and it comes up to $738. So it's a small amount of money. So when I get Belcoffer's, if I don't get it by next week, I'll call him.
He just got out of the hospital.
Oh, okay. Well, that's
been in the hospital for like a week.
Oh, Bill?
Well, I will call him. I'll give him some time. So we'll deal with that when he gets up to that. So. And then I did get an email from the True Green today about all of the renewals for that. Everything stayed exactly the same. If you remember last year, So I thought it was a very good deal last year.
Yeah.
Everything stayed the same except for last year, during the year, I did add one more of the stones to be treated. So that's on here. So the total bill, which is for the offices, the cemetery, Jover Park, and the diamonds, is $5,355.52. If it's paid before January 31st, you get a 10% discount.
Does this like include like the spring like fertilizer booths and stuff?
Everything.
Because wasn't we talked last year, we talked about possibly not doing that over at, because the grass is growing so fast as it was.
Well, how much does it cost? Do they have it broke down on what, like, Rialto Park is?
Yes, $70 a service.
Because really in the spring, that at times stays pretty wet.
Okay.
I would say if we could skip that in the spring, the first initial one, that would save us on having to mow that one so much when we're trying to keep up with here and the cemetery because of services and holidays, and because with everything that happens in the spring, you know, you're every third day mowing. Because once they hit it with that fertilizer, I mean, it just goes. You know, by all means, keep the weed stuff, and it's up to you guys, but it does. It's
well, the way it's put on there, it's three things. It says early spring. It's fertilizer, broadleaf control, and crabgrass. So, and that's $70 for that application. Maybe see if they take that fertilizer out. I don't know how they do with that.
They could do that.
That I'm not sure that the fertilizer that they're using, because see, we go in and reseed all those new graves, and if they're using the wrong kind of fertilizer on it, the grass will never grow. It just kills it in the ground.
Well, they're going to, that first application, they're going to, you said broadleaf weeds, and I'm assuming, you didn't say it, but I'm assuming there's a pre-emergent in there.
That's what I would imagine. It doesn't say that,
yeah.
But that's what I would
imagine. Which, if you could try to reseed after they put down a pre-emergent, that won't work.
Yep, that's right.
Because that's usually all the new graves, weather permitting. We try to have them all seeded before it starts raining so we can get some grass up.
So Kevin, are you saying that you
did? Might have been what happened to us a couple of years in a row where we didn't really get any grass.
Yeah. So are you saying you want that spring application not made at all at the cemetery?
I'd say so. That we would benefit on the amount of time we got to spend there mowing it, and that gives us more time to get everything leveled up, seeded, and possibly get grass up by the holiday. So.
If you do end up having weeds spring up, do you have equipment to go in and spray those, spot treat those weeds?
You can call them at any time and they'll come spray for you.
Okay.
Like if we start having a dandelion problem, but as many years we sprayed at the cemetery, we don't get many dandelions at this point. So if we skip one here and there, I don't think we're going to be too bad on it.
Mike, could they give us the analysis too on the fertilizer?
You know, I've asked him several times. I emailed him this evening. I'm sure I'll hear from him tomorrow morning, and I will put that back on there.
Under disclosure, they have to give you all.
Yes,
they have to. But yeah.
I will. I think his secretary might be better to get that. So I will talk to her tomorrow. So what do you want me The Joe Burr Park gets 3 applications. The cemetery gets 4. Do you want me to take off the initial cemetery altogether? Everything?
Yeah.
Because it seems like it's exactly the same. The first and the second one are exactly the same.
Yeah, do that for Rialdo Park and that one.
Okay, so I'll take off
the Rialdo Park. We're not going to put any new grass in, but it's just the amount of times you're running down there to mow it.
Okay. Okay, so the ball fields get 3 applications of the lawn and the stone. I keep that the way it is. The township offices get 4, and I'm keeping that the way it is, correct?
That would be fine for here.
Okay, so Jover Park, I'm taking off there's 3 applications. I'm taking the first one off totally. And the cemetery gets 4, and I'm taking that first one off totally.
So there will be 3 applications for the park and 3 for the cemetery. Do I have that right?
It will be 3 for the baseball diamonds, 2 for Joe Verb.
Oh, okay.
And then 3 for the cemetery, then 4 for the offices.
Okay. What would really help with the rec field, if we could get that sprayed a couple times to kill off the clover. The clover and friggin' and the other one, because most of the time it doesn't need mowed other than all the clover clusters.
Yeah, and it's just the clumps.
If it wasn't for the clover, we could possibly a week here and there skip a complete mowing there.
Well, and if you I know you know, but
and it's not where you've had them spray the ball fields, that's done. It's all the rest of the field where it comes up.
When you look out there, you can see the circular things like the 50 or 60 foot of the baseball radius, the grass. That's been sprayed for a few years now. The other part's only been a year. So I'm hoping, because I've looked at this too, I'm hoping that this second year will hopefully take care of a lot of that. But if you want me to change anything, I will be more than happy to do whatever you suggest.
It's just those open parts of the field. You just get so much of that clover, and it grows so freaking fast. When the grass ain't growing, the clover's still growing.
Yeah, yeah.
Why don't you put a note on there and ask him about the clover?
Okay. I will do that. So once I get this all taken care of, is it okay to approve it?
Yeah.
And then I will have him rewrite everything, and then I'll email it to Joel, and then hopefully it gets paid before January 31st, and we'll get the 10% off. That's $500-some. That's a lot of money. So. Okay. And I do have everything here if you want to look at any of it. So I think it's a good deal. I honestly do.
Oh, we really knocked them down last year.
Yeah, we did a lot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm surprised they didn't go up a little bit.
I'm surprised they didn't go up, and I'm surprised they took it last year. So.
Yeah, yeah, they didn't want to lose it.
Yeah. That's a big chunk.
So. Yeah. Is that all, Mike?
That's it.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Okay, we'll move on to zoning inspector's report. I got some stuff I can read off, but we need a motion to approve the amendment here. I'll read it. The amendment to the Jerusalem Township zoning resolution enacting conditional uses with BZA process and eliminating special use permits.
Does everybody understand what that is?
If you want to clarify it.
The Ohio Revised Code is recommending that townships eliminate some old language that dealt with special use permits and replace that with language that deals with conditional use permits. And they're also suggesting that the Board of Zoning Appeals function as that that group that will
enforce
that. So it's really just to bring our township into compliance with the Ohio Revised Code changes that have occurred over the years. Most townships have already approved this, and it does not have any effect on individuals who already have received a special use permit. They're all, once they have it, they're all grandfathered in, and this only applies going forward to new applicants under the conditional use permit, the new language. Does that make sense?
Yep, that's exactly the way it was explained.
You did a good job.
I move for the approval of that change.
Thanks, second. Okay, roll call. Bo Miller.
Yes.
Mark Sattler.
Yes.
Dave Bench.
Yes.
Motion carried. Anyone have any questions? Tony.
I guess part of my curiosity is that going to bring Jerusalem Township up into similarities to like Sylvania Township or Springfield Township?
Yep.
in those capacities? And
yep.
And I guess where I'm concerned with, so how does that affect us as a primary recreational area and or a farming area? You know, how is that going to affect us in some of the other areas? I mean, is it going to go to the point where we're not allowed to have clotheslines up it's not aesthetically appealing to the neighbors?
What it boils down to, Chief, if you go, and we'll use, like, a lot of it's like based off like my business. I went to the zoning inspector and said, hey, I want to put a metal stamping business in here. They denied me. They said, no. You need this. So I had to get a variance or special use permit, and I had to go in front of the BZA. BZA said yes. They granted it to me. And as long as I fall under their, if I abide by the rules that they set forth, I'm good. What this is stating now is if I renege on something in that, the BZA is the executioner. They have the right to meet and approach me with it. It's basically, instead of the zoning board, like Linda and the people that sit on the zoning board, it kind of takes it out of their hand and puts it back on the people that originally gave the variance. But it's called a conditional use permit now, is what it's called.
Who would that be?
Dicker Carsonson's on it, Jim Barron. There's a board. I can't list them all off the top of my head.
What's the name of the board?
So there's a Board of Zoning Appeals.
Yeah, BZA.
And that's different from the Zoning Commission.
So the Zoning Commission, they write the zoning book. Okay? They their job, if I'm Dave,
you're right.
I'm right. They write the zoning laws and they bring them to us to approve. The Zoning Board of Appeals is exactly what it says. They will let you, if you have a problem or if you want to do something that's not allowed in the zoning book, you can pay the $400 and sit in front of the Board of Zoning Appeals and plead your case.
You
and they'll look at it and they'll say, yes or no, you know. And also in this language, it states that before it goes to them, it goes down to Lucas County. And Lucas County looks at the request first. And basically what they're doing is they're looking at all the legalities. And then they're going to bring it back to our BZA and give their recommendation. Now, they could recommend, no, you don't allow this. But if our BZA says, no, we want to do it, they can do it. We're not.
That's why I'm here.
Yeah.
That's the reason that I've been coming here. Is I got a nuisance that needs to be evaded down there. And I'm getting shifted all around. And nobody seems to want to do anything about it.
Could you say your name, sir, so it goes?
John Stavartak.
Thank you.
I've got problems down there at the dollar store.
That was, we were in the zoning meeting the other night, and it was brought up about that.
I'm told now it's the groundkeepers, the mowers are supposed to take care of that.
Well, Linda did bring it up. I remember her mentioning it in the zoning meeting.
I got some stuff here to read, too. So.
Oh, do you? Okay. It was brought up in there about the outside of the fence. They fixed the fence, if I'm correct, right?
Nope.
I thought the fence was fixed.
Still falling off. They put three panels up. Two, the furthest from me on the other side of the dollar store, and the one on my side. And they're still falling off. I can show you pictures again. The job is done crappy.
Yeah, well, she was on that. I know she called them and sent the emails. And
the land was never put to the proper level in the first place. And the fence goes like that. I mean,
The fence shouldn't have even been on there, basically.
It shouldn't be there in the first place till they leveled it all out.
Yep.
And they put it right over all the rubble. And totally so agree. Now the weeds are up that high. There's no, I mean, I mow it in the back where they leveled it, but I can't go through the stakes and all the stuff that's left in there.
Okay.
Jim?
Jim Boothby on. So I understand how you've replaced a special use, but does the Board of Zoning Appeals create the conditions by which you're allowed to? They're going to say, okay, say like in Bo's building, you have to have an outbuilding for your propane tanks, or you have to paint it green. So they're going to, the Board of Zoning Appeals will outline the conditions by what you're going to be allowed to.
Yes. Like when I got my variance for that building, I was not allowed to keep my dumpsters outside. My dumpster had to be fenced in. Mm-hmm. I couldn't store any equipment outside because they were afraid it was going to look like Truman's. And, with all the stuff outside. So them were things that I had to do. I had hours of operation I had to abide by. We had to put in green space for the neighborhood, and we did. So I had to...
And that's on... So some of these conditions could come from Lucas County, like you say, it goes through Lucas County.
Could.
Yeah.
So they could sit there and say you have to use Trex instead of...
No. What they're saying...
I mean, you know, to what conditions can they impose on you?
Lucas County's basically legalities.
Right,
of,
but the board is on appeal. What conditions can they, tell you what color it's got to be?
They could. They could do, I mean, it's more of a...
It's rather ambiguous.
Yeah, it is. It's, I don't know how to explain it. It's, they've only ever had two of these come through in the history of the township, mine and Chuck Lusa's were the only two.
But I think those special uses, which now are going to be conditional uses, are really geared around how do we make sure that this exception doesn't create a hardship with respect to the nearby residents and neighbors. So I think what Bo said is he can't run, he's not supposed to run a third shift and keep the neighbors awake all night long.
Yeah. In the same way, like setbacks. You want a setback on your property because you want to put a building right here. Linda says no. Well, you pay your $400 goes to the Zord. They could say, "Yeah, we can do it. We'll let you have that setback." You know, it's but basically it's taking it off of that group of people who write the laws, or the book, to these people over here who are the ones that voted in, so they should be all the ones that voted out.
Well, what's the use of having the laws in the first place? Because they, your laws are made because of the situation at the time.
The, exactly, but
and
things...
If the time changes, then the whole rules, the rules should change, and not for just one person.
Right.
Right. The Zoning Commission, you know, puts those zoning rules into place, and then as times change, they can alter those zoning rules. Think of the way Linda explained it to me one time is the Zoning Commission kind of functions like Congress does and makes the laws. But then the Board of Zoning Appeals functions much like the Supreme Court and then enforces and interprets those laws. So that's how the...
Interpret is another thing.
Well, yeah. Sorry, I don't mean to get into that, but...
Yeah, it should be spelled out pretty right. good in the first place.
Right.
That's a fault of the laws if
they're not specific enough.
Every time you want to do something.
Right, right. So I think that's the intent. Does that help at all?
I don't know, should I sign it?
Or? Yeah, the board.
It's basically it's not to pull a fast one, but it's basically to bring us up to Ohio Revised Code. It's a lot of its wording, a lot of its name, a name change.
Why are they changing it?
It was just redone in the Ohio Revised Code. What? How many years ago was that, Dave? Do you remember?
No. Why?
2015.
11. There should be a reason that goes along with the rule change.
Yeah. Sorry. I don't know that we're just not sure what that is, and how long that's been.
Maybe you should look into it before you okay it.
We sat in the meeting with them, and it was, I can't remember the exact date of when the Ohio Revised Code was rewrote and changed, and we were just bringing our stuff up to standard. It was basically what it boils down to.
And I'll get it later. Okay, well, we'll move on here. I got an update here of what she has did. I'll read it off quick. Zoning permits, 11650 Van Dyke Accessory Building, Perry Marlowe, 11746 Lakeway Remodeling, Michael Martin, 7401 Jerusalem Fence, Sarah Satowski, Land Bank, currently foreclosing on 33/66517, 11961 Canal. Violations, 8260 Jerusalem, Ace Roofing, Blight, Shipping Containers, Vehicles, Wood Pile, 1057 Cooley, Zeech, Noise, 850 Main, La Course. House is simply a shell. That's in Bono. Red Tags, Dean Trucking, 1608 South, North Curtis, special use violations, Loose, La Course, 850 Main Street, shell of a house. Court cases must remain in compliance through April 1, 2019. Cases will then be closed. 2621 East Schiffert, 642 Donovan. Hemeluski. 1095 Cooley, Wilhelm, December 18th, 2 o'clock. Zoning Board. Lucas County Plan Commission recommends approval of zoning text amendments to in regards to conditional uses. Public meeting held at the regular Township Zoning Board meeting on Wednesday, December 5th, 2018 at 7 o'clock. Zoning Board recommended amendments and move to refer to trustees, which we just did. Investigations. The Dollar General contacted Viva email, sent pictures, fence repaired, followed up email 1121, Howard McMaster's boat's gone, seems to be adding to Jerusalem property. He's adding more junk. Moving on Stanton, 11349 Corduroy, Blight, and Boats, and Dean Trucking, 1608 South, North Curtis, special use violations, Loose. That's right back at you, Bo, right?
Yep.
And she's got structures here. It's 11842 Canal and 11650 Canal and 460 Clubhouse and 850 Main and 11986 Corduroy.
So they're saying that on that property by me that it's over and done with.
No,
well,
no.
I've talked to her
General?
Since.
No, no. We're still working on it. No.
No, it's not over and done. She's still working her way through that.
Yeah. Things don't move that fast, but we're working on it.
Because
heard that one before.
Yeah. We're trying.
We're trying.
We're definitely trying to.
I'll get back with you.
Yes.
Yeah, no problem. You're more than welcome to come.
Yeah. We're definitely trying.
Okay. If there's nothing else, we'll move on. Motion amendment.
Make it quick.
Got that. Maintenance Department report. Kevin.
All right. Since the last trustees meeting, we had another minor salting event. For this season so far, we're under 10 tons of salt used. But I've been getting inquiries because people are looking at our salt shed, wanting to know if they can get salt from us. I've already committed some salt to Allen Township just due to the price, with a project to be worked out at a later date, whether it's tar and chipping roads for us on that side of Brown Road, or if we actually exchange money. I'd rather not exchange money with them because we swap equipment back and forth and we work good, but there will be justifiable work come back for what we paid for the salt, which we only had, I think it was $36 a ton delivered here, so it wouldn't be that much. It would be, the amount of salt that they're looking at would be under $500 in cost, so that would only get them less than 5 tons of salt this year. So that I made an agreement with. I've had inquiries from the Oregon school system. Have not talked to anybody in a supervisor's position yet on this, but supposedly the city of Oregon is telling them, and I haven't talked to Oregon yet on it, that there's a possibility they may not be able to get any salt from them due to they're already feeling that they'll be short for the season. We have contributed to the schools before with a load of salt here and there as they needed it, or if the Oregon garage was closed. Don't really need a commitment on this at this meeting if you want to think about it, but I feel that we should help them out. But I'm not looking to supply salt to go into the city of Oregon and Salt Clay High School and Coy. If it's out here and they're salting for Jerusalem and Eisenhower, I went through there and salted them before in our own trucks. But due to the price and what we got in there, I think if we don't have a real bad winter, I can possibly make it through next winter on the salt we have. Looking for that price to bottom back out and get back down in that $30 to $40 range, then purchase 300 to 500 tons to put in the salt shed. Then we'll be set again for 3 to 5 years, depending on what the winters are. But they have been inquiring, so think about it. In our next meeting, I'll bring it up again if it comes through, and we'll decide if we want to really commit a lot of salt towards that, which in past winters, maybe 20 ton isn't a lot of salt realistically, but at $140 to $150 a ton, it adds up. So it's something to think about.
Kevin, did Oregon used to give them the salt?
Yes.
No kidding.
With the city of Oregon, I don't know for a fact that the Oregon school system didn't give them a little money. The way I understood it is the city just give them some salt and they would salt the schools. And for as long as I've worked here,
believe,
we've helped them out with a little bit of bucket load here, a bucket load there type thing, instead of them running all the way back to the municipal complex to reload and come back out. As long as we're working, that's what I told them. We would not be coming in on overtime to just put salt in the truck. They have to get the salt while we're working, because they have a habit of 3 o'clock in the morning after we worked all the day before and we're home, then I get a phone call, hey, can you come give me some salt? No, we won't be doing that, but if we're working, I don't foresee a problem as long as it doesn't get abused. So just food for thought on that, if you would. The Van Dyke Culvert Project, hopefully by the next meeting, I'll have you guys the proposals before then for us to make a decision on a contractor on that. And also Dave's been working with contractors as far as the pipe repair and catch basin put in at Marius Drive. We're still waiting on a couple prices on that yet. So hopefully by the next meeting, we can tie all that up, tell the contractors whenever they want to start. And since the last meeting, we had one funeral. Everything went good with it, it was a full burial. And that's all I have, unless you guys have something for me.
Did you, if anybody noticed, we've been cleaning up some of that concrete out back that was left over from Chief Stanton. We've been getting rid of it back there. Did you try any of them? You haven't been back there with the backhoe at all?
No, we hauled all the concrete away. I was hoping to see if we could bust some other tile up. I got a lot of wire in them, but if I can bust them down enough and haul them down there, but if they don't bust up good, now I'm not going to pile them okay. in on him. But I want to try that so we can get rid of theirs. I believe 5 of the 5-foot pipe that's left back there, and there's some 32 or 48 that's back there yet.
Last time we did it, we had Grottle come in and bust it up, and he's got, you know, a great big army.
Yeah.
And do it. We used all the concrete over at the cemetery. That's, if you ever notice, it's all concreted.
Yeah, along the back by the creek there.
Yep.
Yeah.
But that's the only thing we got left.
Yeah, we've been getting it cleaned up. I noticed that a lot of it went out of there, so.
So if we want to spend the money to get rid of those tiles, because that's a lot of work.
Yeah. Well, he just said he might, you know, if he could hit it with the back, if they bust, because they've already got a bunch of holes in them from the when they were doing them exercises. Yeah. If they bust up to where you can get them in the truck easier, he can get them out of there, he might do it, but.
It's the wire.
Yeah.
It's the wire. It's a bitch. Didn't we stand here and cut it when he was busting them?
We had to cut a bunch of wire when it was long and stringy.
Yeah. I mean, we were right there when Grottle was there, I think, weren't we?
Which this application, we're getting rid of it, too. It doesn't have to be as fine as that.
Yeah, it's so true.
As long as I can get it into the truck, we'd be okay. But I just don't want it just smashed down.
Yeah.
So they're nice enough to let us get rid of it, so.
Okay, I guess that's it. That's it. Thank you, Kevin. Guess we can move on to the trustees' reports, the cemetery. And
okay. Kevin, you mentioned that there was one funeral recently. Any additional cemetery plots that have been sold since last meeting?
No, not okay. Since last meeting. I've had an inquiry on it, and they haven't got back with me. They were looking for pricing, so I don't know if they were just comparing to someplace else or not.
Okay, not great. Thanks. Prior to the election in November, we had worked with Anita Lopez's office to find out how much revenue would come from that 0.25 mil levy that we had on the ballot, and what the cost would be to our Jerusalem Township property owners. There was a gentleman that was very, very helpful by the name of Ryan Ryder, and what I'd like to recommend is that we, now that we're past that, the levy passed, and his help was very valuable to us. I would just like to suggest that all four of us sign a thank you letter and send it on to him and copy Anita Lopez.
Good idea.
With that, okay. So I'll send that down, and then we start with Joel, and we just pass it right on back for everybody to sign. I believe with respect to the development of the additional cemetery property that's been purchased. I think those quotes are still in process, still underway. Okay.
How about the paperwork, the legal paperwork?
I did not get them the copy back. That was my question at the last meeting. Paperwork we got from the lawyer, because there's never been a decision to forward that on to them yet, because we were reviewing it. and nobody remembered it, so I gotta just make a copy for everybody again. And hopefully this winter yet we get that rectified with them signing off.
Yes, because I'd like to get that taken care of. We've got this nice piece of property yet. It's not, the legal part needs to be taken care of.
Which the lawyer did say, when he went through the revised code after doing more research, he did find an exemption where we wouldn't have to do that. But since we'd already started this process, it's just being a good neighbor.
Just being a good neighbor.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Okay, I'll move on to hauls and rentals.
We've had, matter of fact, Joel got the money tonight. We had three new haul rentals for, one for January, February, and March. First Saturdays.
Are they on in there?
No, I don't, because I don't have a next year's calendar yet. So.
Got one out in the shop for you.
Okay. That's it on the haul and rentals.
Roads and bridges, I'll come across all mine here in the old business, and I'll talk about it all. Okay, move on to old business, the Van Dyke Road. I guess Kevin kind of covered that. We got another bid coming in yet. And like he said, we'll probably have this all lined up by the next meeting or January sometime. I put in the anchor point permit. Linda's not here, so that's not going to do any good. I'll leave it in there till I get an answer. The Dollar General, we're going to discuss that again tonight. Repairs to the Township Hall. As you can see out there, they are replacing brick. Temecog General Assembly, January 28th, 2019, to French Quarter. Bono Lighting. I met with a rep from Toledo Edison, and we were going to get the price on four poles, four lights. The poles are there already, so there's work in progress there. We were going to see what the four cost, and we're probably going to have to do all of Bono, and because you'll have to have a lighting district and everything, and everybody's going to have to pay their fair share. So if we don't have lights for the whole thing, but at least we'll have something to go by what these four would cost. They just have a flat rate. They don't have a meter on everyone, you know. There's work in progress. Marius Drive. I got one more bid coming in there, and the trees were cut the other, I think, last week or so, so they can get in there and do their job. The 2019 healthcare policy. We did that already. Lucas County Township Association meeting is December 12th, which is tomorrow night at 6 p.m.
Got it.
Okay. Okay. It's at Monclova Township Administration Building. Rachel and East, the water issues there, I'll see at the DIC meeting, I'll see the engineers and I'll bug them about that again. And somehow we have to figure out, they're either going to have to put a new tile in there, Kevin, through the field, or we're going to have to turn the water around. I'll have to go down and look at that, and we got to do some serious thinking there. So, there's a major problem there. And I guess it always has been, you said, Kevin, right?
Ever since Cliff Pullen on the property there, mm-hmm. We've had problems. So okay. It's been there a long time.
Okay. Township Christmas party. Thank you, Santa. Thank you. We probably had 40 people or something like that, I suppose, wasn't it? I don't know how many kids you had on your lap.
Too many.
Too many?
Too many.
One. One?
I think.
Oh. You think?
My hand was wet. I was like, let's go.
I'll thank
you
when I get home.
Yeah. No, he wasn't bad. He was the mental monster.
We didn't have as many people, but we downsized it a lot, you know, so we didn't have all the older people there wanting gifts and everything. So
it was nice, though.
It was nice, yeah.
It's probably what it should be, right?
Just yeah, and I noticed that a lot of people, that's all they're doing is cookies and punch or cocoa. You see it all through the paper and everything. That's what everybody's doing.
Yeah.
So I guess you passed the Santa Claus test. So.
Yeah, you did a nice job.
Now you're stuck with it forever, Joel.
Pretty sure that's the point.
And the suit fit good.
Yeah, I'm going to start losing some more weight.
3X, 3X.
Start stuffing it.
Motor vehicle tax, I think we all have to look at this real close. So we can vote on this probably in January.
Is that... Because we're getting motor vehicle tax money now.
Yeah, well, this is another one. The township can also do this, too.
So we're getting county, and then yep. This is...
Is this the $5?
Yeah. So on top of whatever we're getting already from it, we're allowed to put additional onto
It'd be another, and it's just for roads. It'll be another $20,000, I believe it was, for just roads. So there's I shouldn't have said anything in front of Kevin about that, but he's smiling back there.
I live in Ottawa County.
Well, his budget.
Yeah, but you got the money for the roads.
Yeah,
you know?
Sure that doesn't go to the general fund?
No, no.
I think the money that's in the general fund goes to the road and bridge.
So. Oh. I guess, on that, do we, like, are we receiving like we have with, you know, are they, the county, aiding us with the proper documentation verbiage that we stamp and cookie cutter like we've seen with other things, or is this a
agree and do a resolution? The county has agreed to do the paperwork for us,
right?
Bono Whiting, right here it is, right here, everything's right there.
Because I'm just for budgeting purposes for you guys,
that'll answer your questions here. I think I got everything in there
because, and I'm just this is a good segue. So we already have a permissive tax, we would just add to the same fund. Is all we would do. And of course, I have to appropriate that money. So,
it wouldn't be for the 19 budget.
Okay. No, it'd be in the future.
The 20 budget.
Yeah. Oh, okay, okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Then that's all. That's
We have to have this done because it has to be done by, July, I believe.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
Okay. Motor vehicle tax. ODOT, the down trees on Decant. And two there, they really made me mad. They didn't do a very good job, just they were there maybe, they wanted to be home by noon. They left 11:30. I think they pulled in, Kevin, at 9:30, and they might have cut a few branches in it, and they pushed the rest under there. And so this Mike Grassman from ODOT called me up. He's the head boss down there in Bowling Green. And he asked me what I thought of what they did, and I goes, well, excuse the expression, I said, it's pretty half-assed. So he said he was going to check it out, and he was going to do a better job. So I don't know. I told him I'd call him back by Friday, and he goes, well, I might have something done by them, but it isn't done yet, so I'll see what happens with that. But, because they're all old maple trees. I think everybody's seen that, and they're all falling down on Route 2 or whatever, and it's really a hazard, safety hazard there. And the trees are owned by the Edison, and the Edison won't do nothing. I tried both. It's one of these projects I've been doing for 4 or 5 years.
Yeah, they won't do it.
And you can't get nothing done. So, okay. The petitioning the ditches, the county engineer, he's supposed to get all the paperwork for me for that, too. And
I do like that idea, sitting in that meeting there.
Yep, we're going to get that done. And then they want, where's Dick at? Dick's back. How's everybody's back today? the engineers want us to use the conservancy to come up to the front of the dikes up along Route 2 and Ward's Canal. And I say, they don't want it. I know that. Dick's told me that. Everybody on the conservancy's told me that. And I don't think it's our problem anyhow. The Metro Parks owns that dike that goes out towards Canal to Minkies there. They should fix it. See, you've seen it. They put one dike there so they didn't have to fix Ward's Canal. It's there. It's still theirs.
From Route 2, or from Howard Road.
Out. Well, there's a little bit they don't own there. The mansion owns a little bit.
Oh, okay.
But that's not too bad there because, see, there's a road there, so it's a double dike.
Right.
But it's real bad right by the sign used to be right there on Route 2. But way in the back there, going back, on Ward's Canal, it's really bad. And that's where it's going to break right there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and that's going to all flow right around the mansion, down Bunning Road and right down Howard Road, right to Reno, heading for your house. Yeah. So that's what I'm really going to hit him on again when I go to this Dick meeting again Thursday. Because he said that, oh, we'll just have the Conservancy take those and take care of that, and they don't want them at all. And
I don't think it's in the Conservancy's district, does it?
It isn't
in
the district.
No, no, it isn't, but they would put it in the Conservancy's district.
They can't do that.
I don't think they can either, but that's what they're pushing.
Well, I'll tell you what, they gave us roads that we didn't want, and they have...
We'll just have to see what plays out. That's all we can do. But I really think the Metro Parks, that's their job. That's, yeah.
What do you think of the Metro Park out there? You know, I went to their meetings and stuff, and I says, well, I says, the only thing that is out there is a zoo. It's not a natural situation. They're pumping water in, pumping water out.
Yep.
It's not taking any algae from the lake in there to get rid of it, because that's the normal way things work. You know, the algae comes in, the water goes down, it dries out, it kills it. That, they're taking the water, they even got a jetties going out, so they take the clean water. They're not even taking the water next to the edge of the water.
They are taking some of the water from like Donovan area and Wallace, and that water is being dumped in there. So there is some, you know, but not much. And we have to watch them too, so when they put the park across the road and start that they don't throw another dike along that one there and don't take care of that one. So we got to really watch them when they move over.
Yeah.
Really, really, really got to watch them. Okay. Taxes, Joel. Parks, Bo.
All right. I got a letter here for you guys. So we've been looking at this, the John F. Kennedy Park back here. We've been some talk about getting into a cooperative agreement with the schools. I was able to reach out down in Columbus and got a hold of the lady who is in charge of this Mary Fitch. She is the real estate and land management. The NatureWorks grant that we got to, I don't think it purchased all of that park. It purchased some of it, paid for some of it. Had a 15-year clause in it. And as you can read down here, just below the black there, it says... As the LUCA-002 project was closed out more than 15 years ago, Jerusalem Township has no further grant-related obligations for this grant-assisted property. So basically, we're off the hook.
Mm-hmm.
The issue is we're still a park because it was turned into a park. So, but as far as the grant work, when it was purchased, we're off the hook for that. I have been in contact with John Burrell. He had a emailed me about a week or so ago and I had apologized. I had asked John to draw up a cooperative agreement between the township and the school board so I could present it to you guys, see if there's anything we needed to change, then we could present it to the school board. I had emailed him today, or he had apologized for not getting it to me. I guess he got tied up with a ton of litigation from the elections. So he had a lot of backlog. I did email him today, and he said it's on his list of things, so he was hoping to possibly have something by the end of the year. So that's where we're at with that. So we've got the okay from the DNR on the grant, and we're waiting on a cooperative agreement to be presented from John Burrell on the parks.
Great.
That's where I'm at with that.
That should be a very nice arrangement with the schools.
I'm just glad we were able to find out what we had left on that grant. Right, you know, because nobody knew like what were the stipulations. So
I thought it was forever, probably.
Yeah, know. But nope, the lady was very open, and
I'm surprised.
So I was glad this will stay. We're going to keep a copy of this with the original grant paperwork and put it in the file somewhere so it's all stuck together.
Excellent.
So we have that. That's all I got on the parks right now.
Okie doke, we'll move on then. The FLAP grant for Vila Road, I finally got them nailed down. We should have the money by February, the $18,000, $600. We should have that by February. There's a lot of paperwork getting this all back and everything, and nothing's fast for the government.
Is it to put the FLAP valve in?
No, no, these flap grants are for, like, we did Veeler, this is Veeler Road, there's a stub over there that we own that goes to the wildlife, and we got a grant to do that, because we weren't going to upgrade it like it has been upgraded, so the feds gave us some money to do it.
Great.
And we're doing the same thing with Bono Road that goes back to the Cooley, actually back to Ward's Canal, but it's the Cooley Club back there. Mm-hmm. It always goose everybody up. The two, they should have named it Ward's Canal Club or something. So, any other old business?
I think you've got flowers on
there. Well, everybody.
I marked it my phone. I just marked it my phone. I'll have it over, I'll see you Friday, if not sooner.
That goes back to Joe Kiss. I bought the flowers and everybody owes me to.
Yeah.
I just reminded everybody. You paid. I marked your name down.
It only took him like 3 or 4 weeks to tell us what we owed him, and now we're waiting months to pay him. So I guess it
doesn't matter.
How it goes around, comes around.
Yeah. Okay, we'll move on to new business then. The only thing I got is I got a DIC meeting December 13th at 2 p.m. at the county engineer's office, and that's when I'll talk to them again about, like, we swapped Nissen Road for Arquette Bowen. We thought that was a good deal.
That was a good deal.
Okay. Any other new business?
I guess we're at the end. Do we want to go ahead and begin to work through some of our budgets?
Well, I do have one. Before we get into that, I had received a call. This was probably about 3 weeks ago. It's on a Friday. My secretary calls me, says, "Bo," she goes, "there's a Dennis Wallenzek needs you to call him immediately." I'm like, "Dennis Wallenzek, he's the city of Oregon." So I'm like, "All right, I'm out in the middle of Lake Duckon." So I call him, and they put me on speakerphone. It's Dennis Wallenzek, Mike Beasley, the city administrator, and another council member. They wanted to know if we would be interested in developing a section of the township for industrial. I.e., he's saying because they would be providing the water, like on Route 2. Like I said, well, our commercial district goes to Kuzno. He goes, "Well, there's our property there." I said, "Well, yeah, there's farms there that you're gonna have to, you know, you'd have to buy out." He goes, "Because what happens is they get companies that come in and say, 'Hey, we need 30 acres or we need 50 acres. And the buildings would be held to the standards of like Auto Neum, places like that. And I said, "Well, this is something that we have to discuss as a board. And then we could, you know, if there's interest, we could get back to you on sitting down and further, you know, discussion on this." To where they would, you know, obviously Oregon's going to be doing the legwork. They're going to make money off it. We're going to make money off of it too. But it's just something if we were interested in it. And I had actually talked to Linda just in passing about this. And she had thought that something more for like an industrial area, she thought more of like a Cedar Point or Corduroy or Siemens section would be better, because it would tie into what the same roads that their industrial's on, you know, Cedar Point, Corduroy area up there, you know. And it was just in passing we talked about it. So if it's something that we want to pursue and look at, we can. If we don't, you know, they said no harm, no foul. But, you know, it was something that if we want to discuss it with them and sit down in a meeting, we could. You know, the big thing is that what we want in the township?
Yeah.
Or?
Yeah. So on the one hand, I think it would be advantageous for the township to have new sources of tax revenue, you know, new businesses coming into town. However, I think we've got to weigh that against this is traditionally an agricultural and recreational community.
Yep.
With very much a rural feel to it. Mm-hmm. And of course we wouldn't want to do anything that would
jeopardize that, alienate
our township residents. So it's really one of these. I mean, if you know, it certainly would be an additional source of revenue if that could be confined to an area that would not create any difficulties. with the rest of the township. Thoughts?
What's the zone now? That strip you said, which we all know is between Cujino and North Curtis, right?
Yeah.
That's already zone one for development.
That's zone commercial, right?
No.
Or is that zone industrial?
The on Route 2 between no, it's their zone agricultural residential. That's just in their in the zoning plan business district is what that is.
That,
the
business district. Still, I was on the board when we did that.
So really, you'd have to look at changing the zoning in that area too. Yeah.
Right, yeah. And that's the thing. Me personally, I'm not really keen on the idea. You know, I live where I live because of where I'm at. I don't live in it because I don't want to live next to a factory or a, you know, something that runs a natural gas plant. You know, I mean, I just doing my job and bringing it to the board as I said I would. So I mean, like I said, if the board says no, I call Mike Beasley up and say, you know, so thank you, but we're not interested at the time.
He called me up and I called him back and he never answered. Yeah. He doesn't even have an answer machine.
Well, I was like, what in the heck's going on there? Like, they're saying some, they're in their chambers, they want to talk to me. I'm like,
they
want
to talk to you right now.
Yeah, so I'm in middle late.
I was waiting to see him Thursday because I'll see him Thursday at that Dick meeting. He goes there too.
So I mean, you know, like I said, it nothing that they don't have anybody lined up. They're just they want to be able to offer it if somebody calls in and says, "Hey, we need 50 acres. This is what we're looking to do." And as I said, well, then you got to try and buy property. You know, they have to try and then they would be the ones that have to try and secure the property from.
Why would they want to come into us? You know, they got all that up there. You know, and, you know.
Do they have? Well, unless they really don't want that kind of industrial area.
And but they've already got
push
it.
Out our way.
They've got it though.
But do they have enough room for expansion?
Well, right. That's the problem. BP owns everything up there on Cedar Point Road. They own it all. You know, they've been buying that out left and right. So,
Route 2 is all open all the way up on there. You know, when you get in.
That's true too. Yeah. So, but so yeah, I wasn't real keen on the idea. Just I present it. The board.
That's why I didn't get real excited about it. You know, I tried to call him back, but then I give up on it, you know, after I called him twice.
There's a big chunk on Cedar Point and wind that just went for sale right across from Ottawa.
Well, yeah. Oh, yeah. Really yeah. So, Mary, I was up there today. Yeah, so you're right. I did see that.
Anytime you put industry into your community, you think you might be making money on it, but that money is leaving this area.
Yeah. Yeah. Like I said, we're
think
not.
About it. You know, you got farming, you got shopping and stuff like that. You're bringing people in, but when you put industry in, that money's going somewhere else. Somebody else owns it, some other place, foreign country, whatever. So it's good to really think about that before you jump into something like that.
I think I agree with you guys. I'm not too interested in it either.
So okay.
And unfortunately, you can't even really get a payroll tax off of it because you're not big enough. You got to have what 5,000 residents, I think, or 6,000 residents to enforce a payroll tax. And you're not big enough to even do that.
Become a village.
Yeah.
Is Oregon's water plant in the township or is it in the city?
It's in the city. They bought that.
So they.
Yeah.
Cut it in.
Yeah, they cut it in.
Yep.
You'll see it on maps.
The street or in the township.
Yep.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So it sounds like we're of the opinion that we're just not sure that this is really compatible with our rural culture, agrarian lifestyle, recreational.
That's the way I put it.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep. So right. I'll so make
thank,
a call.
Thank you, but no thanks.
Okay. Got
sounds
it.
Good.
All right.
Okay, I guess Tony, you presented everything you wanted to present already.
I did, yes.
Yeah, okay, so we got that done.
So I think we got everything else, unless you want to start to maybe start to work our way with Tony through the fire budget.
Yeah, and I had Joel get
reorg
meeting too, so. You know, so we got one so you can see what.
For reference.
Yeah, for reference.
Okay.
Do you want to let everybody know that this is what we're doing? I mean, if they want to leave, there's no...
Yeah, we're just...
This is still an open meeting, and you're welcome to stay. Yeah. But if budgeting is not your cup of tea, you don't have to
stay. We're just going to talk over the reorg.
We're not even... We're no decision. We're just looking. Preliminary.
That's terrible.
Thank you.
That's the amount.
Did you ever get anywhere on the computers?
No, I called your son. Yeah. The number went right to voicemail. I couldn't leave a message. I tried a couple times. I couldn't.
Well, you know, that's one thing we should be forward. Forget.
Yeah, his voicemail's full.
We better make a date.
We didn't even. Yes. We're not even going to pursue it this year.
I know what we'll do.
But yeah, I called him and went straight to voicemail.
We couldn't
take any more messages.
Yeah, let me get the calendar out.
Okay.
Well, the 27th is the last Wednesday.
That's 25th.
30th is a Sunday.
What's that?
30th is a Sunday.
Okay. I could have went in there and
there. I know that because it was... What is Christmas on a Tuesday?
Christmas is Wednesday. On a Tuesday.
Well, hell.
Wednesday.
Our next
I'll wear the Santa outfit. You can have for me.
You wear the Santa outfit?
Yeah, you can do that.
I can be Scrooge. And you can be Scrooge Bo, and Mark, you can be the elf. And Dave is, I don't know what Dave is.
Bah humbug.
Yeah.
I don't know, you want to have one the 20th or something? That's always a zoo in between.
Yeah, between Christmas and New Year's, that is kind of tough.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, we're going to have a meeting next week.
Well, that's what it looks like. It would be, yeah.
Yeah, well, I mean, if Tuesdays work, should we do,
do
a
Tuesday
week from tonight?
Yeah, we could do that too.
Does that work?
The 18th?
Well, it's either there, or we could do it later on in the week if you wanted to, just to kind of give us some more time in between there.
We could.
I think,
I mean, you're talking a week. I mean, you're not going to get that many checks. And
no, I don't know.
So, you know, well, it's true.
They come in piles.
I'm not worried about checks. We got
the store down there. You know, they put trees in, and they put them so close to the parking. If a truck or pickup backs in there, and the trees up.
Oh, my. Not a lot of thought went into it. That's too bad.
No sense to what's going on over there. Okay. I mean, and it's up to her to, I mean, I don't know. I mean, I was Ohio inspector. I mean, I inspected the parks. I inspected the
houses. Oh, right.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, okay.
I've done all that. And just, I hate to see that happen in this community where stuff comes in.
It's done sloppily.
I mean, I worked in Toledo, all that stuff, you know. I was on the housing board over there, and it's a joke, you know. So
they actually need to take that fence down.
Are you planning on...
Well, it's got to come down and level out and put it back upright.
Doing the reorg in January again?
What was that?
Yeah. Are we planning on doing the reorg early January again?
Or cut them off, move
We only did it for you because, you were coming in.
Yeah, we couldn't do it prior.
A lot of times we do it...
Yeah, it's a little nuts.
For now even.
Okay.
No, me and my son at Jerusalem School...
That's why I brought a copy here, so... Mark would know.
Yeah.
But you could do it the first week of January.
So,
You could do it on January 1 as a Tuesday.
Yep.
2 or 3 of January. Okay. And it's still within the normal because this was
Linda's January still working 3rd. On it. We wanted to talk to Linda. Because, we do want to
do it on that Thursday.
You could still have your board of trustees meeting.
She was very disappointed that they did it the way they did it. It wasn't very nice.
The only thing we might want
to get. This is such a long meeting.
You have to get it right.
Well, yeah.
It's just mundane.
The thing is, when they first come in there,
you can't do it
right away.
And that's what we did
last year. They were going to dump into my ditch. And I says,
but there's no problem with doing it on the first Tuesday of January. New Year's, back to work. Nobody's taking off work on
New Year's Day. New Year's Eve is Monday.
Right, but there's nothing special. Like, you're not like you're out of town. It's a normal work day.
Right.
You're at work.
Right.
You don't close for New Year's Eve.
Right.
But if it was a
conflict
with the holiday.
So are you saying doing it when?
The first.
And he goes,
keep it on a Tuesday.
I says, do you want pictures?
That bothered me.
Says, the field here.
I'm not a big out drinker, party, or hungover, so.
Not on Monday night.
They were hauling.
No, I'm going to go to work on Tuesday. It's a normal day.
No, Tuesday would be January 1st.
Yeah, right. First Tuesday of January.
Which is probably when this was.
You know, it just...
That was January 3rd.
Well, we're not done. Yeah, okay, all right, thank you. Take care, have a good evening.
On a second Tuesday, not on a first.
Right, we're still going to have to have it.
All right. Well, we'll have to, we can discuss it. Let's get this budget rolling so we can...
So do we decide on when our next meeting is?
No. We better do that so we don't forget. Are we talking, okay, hold on. You pulled this thing out, though, first. You said, hey, I got this. Let's finish this. When is this meeting?
Oh, the reorg meeting?
Yes. Well, that's what you had, and you handed them out, and then we stopped. So...
We could do the reorg meeting January 3rd if you want it again. That'd be that Thursday.
That'll be a Thursday, right?
Let's not do it first. Yeah, let's do it like a Thursday. Yeah.
Okay.
So reorg, and that gives you enough time to...
Now, do we have to put... we have to do the special meeting announcement and all that?
Yes.
Okay.
Sure.
Please make sure we get it on the website. The website. I know we put it on the marquee and we put it at some stores, but let's please put it on the website. So
I'll just do a posting in the community on here, sign.
And posting in the community is going to include Jack's and
Joe's,
Sunoco, and
then a sign out here.
Okay.
Yeah. January 3rd.
And that works good. If we did it on the 1st, you know, we wouldn't have got the sign maybe.
Okay. And then really this, which is...
And I'm sorry, the time. What
time
will this
be? Oh, it'd be same time.
At 10 a.m.?
Oh, no, I don't know. We should just... How long does this take?
Does that...
When you say same time, do you mean 7 o'clock?
No, let's do it earlier or something. 6 o'clock? How about your work, though? You got to worry about your work.
I have to take off work.
You want to take off?
You mean if you're doing it during the day?
What time could you be here if we did it? What's the best time?
6 o'clock.
6 o'clock?
This won't take.
Six is okay with me.
Okay.
I don't want you to take off.
Yeah. And we'll talk about that at the next meeting. Just for everybody.
Yeah. The purpose of this is review what happened and say, do we need to add? Do we need to subtract?
Yeah.
And all I'm going to do is take, and I have this Word document, and if you have omit, cross off, or question, then you bring a second page, and then all I'm going to do is add that to, and what Don had given me, which I followed, which whether that's right or wrong is what I had, was I'm going to leave blanks for names, nominate, so when you go in, you're writing DB, made motion, MS, second,
right.
Vote.
That's what we used to do.
Right.
Long so everybody's going to keep their own notes.
Yeah.
Instead of, because it's a lot to type up.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I still got to make a template.
That's why Julie did it, though, when she...
Yeah.
We had to fill it in.
And I know that there are things missing. If you talk about the fire department, SOP, salary, or mention, I mean, there's a section for fire department.
Yep.
But it's not going to be that specific to that SOP. It's not 4 pages of wages for the fire department. It's just,
but it will be now.
I don't think it needs to be.
No?
The only thing changed.
It should be right in here. That SOP should be right in
but
there.
But the SOP is more than just the numbers, and this is the numbers.
Aye.
So anyways, let's look at it.
All right. So what are we doing our next trustees meeting? Are we? We're going to do one more yet this year, right, David?
Yeah. How about you want to do it Tuesday night again or wait till the 20th? Or
you should wait till the 20th because you got to give me time to get out the notice. And I'll be putting out both notices at the same time.
20th okay then?
Sure.
Okay, what time?
7 o'clock?
Yeah, that's a normal meeting.
Okay. Yep.
All right, and that's 12:20.
Wait, shit. Sorry.
So that's the...
Change the 20th. Meeting. Update, I have to update Thursday. The website.
Thursday, 20th.
Normal time.
All right.
So I have to make, yeah.
So yeah, we made decisions. Got it.
So, will you have stuff for? I mean, should we get her early and sign checks and that kind of stuff?
Normal.
Normal. Got it. Because
The next trustees meeting is going to be regular business.
Yeah. The only thing is, you might have a budget conversation.
Right.
You
won't on something else.
Because appropriations are still not going to be at that meeting. Okay. That is not.
Yeah, the appropriations.
That is not going to happen at the December meeting. So it's normal business items.
Okay, got it. All right, those are taken care of.
All right, January.
And then you, Dave, you want us to review this and see if there's anything else that needs to be in here modified.
It's well, a, you know, it's
we'll
like
we'll talk about this at the next and finalize this at the next meeting in preparation for the agenda.
Yeah, that makes sense.
That works.
Okay.
That'll work. Okay. Sounds good to me.
Better to cover more than what's necessary.
Now you said we're missing some things in here. You said that the auditor said we should have in here.
I mean, I would say, boy, I wish I could be that specific of what it was. Oh shit! Of course, I think the thing that we have to make sure is that it had to be specific with payment. Okay, so you have a health insurance thing in here. Okay, meetings. The fire department's going to be a change, which has to just be updated, okay? And I don't remember now. I'm going to look. Let me look through my notes. There were some things that I jotted down from that, some okay. takeaways. Let me write them down and look. Because I think I typed up a thing. And I'll email it out. So you guys can ponder that.
So we're just looking over the fire department one tonight, right?
Yeah, I think so. Unless we finish that, you're really ambitious.
Can I first start on my part of the fire department, which is essentially.
I think it's the only one we're going to go over tonight.
Okay.
I think
it's just the format. So yep. The format is, you know, income and expense. They're all like that. Some assumptions that I made and Tony accepted was collection of monies, levy monies. So you'll see that echo through all these. So
which
less
one are you on?
Just
you're on fire levy 2191?
Yeah, exactly. I'm just going over this overall thing okay. And then you guys take over with Tony. But just the only thing I could say is that I made some assumptions, okay? And so for example, the collection of revenue. And you see the comment section, less 10% of $315,000.
Right.
I mean, that's just a guess.
Where's that at?
Right there.
Oh, okay.
So you will see that with all of those that I'm saying that we're going to hold back 10% or not collect 10%. And that's going to help us carry into 2020. Okay. Now, I don't know what carryover looks like right now. That carryover has to be appropriated for 2019. But assume that we need carryover for 2020, so you might as well assume we're not getting all that tax settlement, and we're probably going to want to carry some over.
So let me make sure I understand. So the 2019 revenues, mm-hmm. we're only going to appropriate 90%. We're going to assume that 10% mm-hmm. will either carry forward to 2020, or we
won't get
if something, yeah, if something happens.
The county's
okay,
not going to get all their money, that, yeah. for sure. The check
so then,
isn't, yeah.
Then when you get the final numbers in for how did we finish 2018, if there's any excess revenues over expenses, then we're going to have to make a decision. Do we carry that out into yeah. the future, or do we?
Well, you will. You'll
okay.
need to.
So we can't automatically add it to 2019.
Well, you will have to because you're going to pay bills in 2019. That you occur before you get your tax settlement check.
That's right. Yeah.
Oh, so that's going to help us
for 2 months,
mm-hmm. for a couple months, so yeah. that we don't have to draw monies out of Starro
Hall. Oh, exactly. Because mm-hmm. you have no yeah. idea. You have fourth quarter payroll for the fire department. That's the largest.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right.
Right.
That's big. And calls are not slowing down, so it's going to be there. Now, that's a guess on what it's going to be, also, right? Which then all the associated withholding accounts that coincide with that. And then, of course, payments for all of those to the federal, state, and government. So it's great that we can work in that. So that's an assumption I made. You'll see that echo across all these budgets.
Okay.
Everything else okay. is good. from some historical that maybe Tony says, hey, Joel, I really don't know what Medicare is going to be. But you can see a trend and say, oh, well, we got to have money set aside for Medicare, for Social Security, okay. for workers' compensation and unemployment.
Okay, I've got a real quick question about this one. So part of this funding comes from a levy, a fire levy, correct?
Majority.
Okay, so do you know what the life cycle of that fire levy is?
Yes.
Can we note such on here? So, I mean, I don't know if the levy ends in 19 or if it
no.
ends in 2029. Or
it's coming up close.
We do have road and bridge levy and...
I have that.
There's like three levies for next year.
I have. I'll email that to you.
Because you haven't put one on yet, have you,
Chief? My thought is.
Preparation.
Let's go ahead and put it on each respective budget if that levy, you know, whatever. Whenever that levy expires, let's go ahead and show that right on there. Yeah, so it's in front of us all the time.
Otherwise you forget.
Oh, yeah, and then it's like, whoops.
No, really, whoops, because if you don't renew that levy, we do not have $333,000 for the fire department.
Exactly,
Okay.
Okay.
Okay, good.
So, Joel, going through this, and Chief, I know you guys have been working on this, so... You had your appropriations for 2018 that we approved in your second column here, and what we've actually spent this year in the year-to-date expenditures. That's the way I'm reading this, correct, Joel?
Yeah.
So you appropriated $500 on the first line item, other salaries. You appropriated $500 in 18, and you've spent $462 so far this year.
And that's through the end of November, so we still have another month.
I would say, this was probably 2 weeks ago.
Year to date, so yeah.
Yeah. Okay. I mean, it wasn't, this was the oldest of the ones you have.
So, I see, you're doing an appropriation here. You've got it jacked up from $500 to $7,500 for 19. Mm-hmm. So I know you have to, the idea is to appropriate all the money that you get in, okay? But one thing that I want to see is I want to see us make these more realistic. And I think, and I'm guessing, Chief, did you guys do this? You guys haven't really ever done this, have you?
This was the very first time that I've participated.
Okay. And that's what I'm thinking, too, because I don't remember seeing this last year. So what I'm thinking is 2019 is going to be a real learning curve for all of us on this.
Right.
So one thing that I don't want to get into is having to move money all year along. So I'm hoping we can look at this again and try and refine some numbers, because basically this is going to give us our budget. It's going to give you something to work off of, because I want to hold you to what you're going to tell us to see, so we can, we can start tracking that way, so that's going to be my biggest issue, is trying to stay with what we have. So I don't want to overinflate an area too much.
So to answer that question, the reason that's different is because we're going to pay Jennifer Howard services out of that instead of taking it out of contract. That's what the comment notes on the right, Jennifer Howard. So some of those, there's a comment for that. And so
are you saying that Jennifer Howard's payments in 2018 actually came out of a different line item?
Yeah, exactly.
So one? Where was that?
It was probably under,
contracted services?
Probably out of contracted services.
So you had $30,000. Okay, I see. You've paid $28,000 out so far.
Yeah.
So you went from you appropriated $30,000 down to $15,000. So you cut that in half.
Yeah.
So.
And these are it's similar to, and I mean again, Jennifer Howard. I mean, it's, you can look back what you paid her so far, and you say, well, it's probably going to be similar to that.
Are we working towards the getting away from her? Just out of curiosity. All right.
Yeah. We just now this month. This is the first month we have more participation of people entering in the reports.
Okay.
But it's going to take a little bit more time before we're much more efficient at it and we're doing it all.
So, Chief, do you have a target?
There's such a huge advantage for us to do it faster because I have received letters from the fire marshal's office in their disappointment that our run reports are not current enough. So.
Not entered right away?
Not entered fast enough.
Because you guys are probably entering like once a week or every 2 weeks, whenever she gets in.
Yeah. So, Chief, do you have a target?
We had to play catch-up prior, too. So.
You have a target date when you're planning on phasing out Jennifer Howard and then bringing all of your data entry in-house?
Second quarter.
By the end of second quarter?
By the end of the second quarter.
Okay. All right. So by 6:30?
Yeah.
19. Okay. Thank you.
Think about the savings at $11.75 an hour.
Yeah.
The general labor rate.
That's huge.
I mean,
I see her checks that we sign. And I don't take nothing away from her. I know she can come in there and fly through there and do that stuff for you guys, and it's just...
But that's money that we can be directed elsewhere.
I'd rather see it going to somebody in the fire department, you know, than an outsider. I mean, that's a big thing there, so... Okay. So that was like, this is my biggest concern, is I want to make sure that we're not having to move funds throughout the year as much.
Some of these appropriations you seem are odd, and that's because when we entered 2018 also, there was, to get things cleaned up from Don, we had to leave these accounts open because they had encumbered balances from 2017 tied to them, and we couldn't just eliminate them to move forward in 2018. We had to leave money in them to pay what was set up.
So,
as an example, Ohio PERS retirement firefighter drills, $7.28. I mean, let's just remove it.
Right.
Right.
But we had to have it open when we started the year because it was tied to encumbrance. So it sucks because you'll see that throughout some of this.
Yeah. But you're cleaning things up.
I mean, you have to out of progression, yeah. Right?
Like, for example, Joel, in small tools and minor equipment. In 2018, you budgeted $96,000, and in 19, you've only got $4,600. So where did we move that to? What account?
Well, one thing, you had less money to spend on small tools and minor equipment, and what you define as small tools and minor equipment has changed. So the reality is a small tool and minor equipment for the fire department would be a screwdriver or a axe, but an operating supply would be latex gloves. Paint would be probably under repairs of the building.
Repairs and maintenance.
Repairs and maintenance. In which he defines motor vehicles separate from building maintenance. Okay? But, you know, at the time the plan was, let's just get that bill paid. And there was money in small tools and minor equipment, so we bought SCBA masks.
Oh, so it still got charged against the wrong account just because there was money in there.
Is it a wrong account, or is it just you're picking an account because you don't know what the right account is?
Okay. But now you've got a more comprehensive definition of what should go where.
Some of it. If the department head would say, this is coming out of training, and I get the bill, because not all the time do bills flow through the department head to me. Now, it makes sense if it's the gas bill or the water bill or the electric bill. But I might just get a statement, and then I have to, or in the past history has been, you got to just pick and choose. And is it easier to pay an operating supply when it could be a small tool, minor equipment? Well, there's money in a small tool, minor equipment. I just might pay it out of that. Those are some of these little purchases don't matter, yeah. But they add up, though.
Right.
Big purchases. SCBA masks were how much? Thousands of dollars?
Mm-hmm. Right.
Those ones? You know, where does that go? That's a planned purchase anyways because of the type it is, right? It's an expensive purchase. The trailer we bought, what is that under? Operating supply? You know?
But not really. I mean, that should be under probably vehicles.
Well, vehicles in this situation, you indicated as...
Machinery, equipment.
Yeah, so...
I mean, yeah. It just depends. Like, you could... It could be a capital, right? Which I believe there's not one located on here. So if you have planned purchases like that are large that you want to designate, you can put them on there or add that account. Like, you want to buy a new truck, that's a capital purchase, right?
Right. Do you have the ability to add additional account codes?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Okay. So here's my question.
Mm-hmm.
The operating supplies line that has a budget of $34,000,
mm-hmm.
if I understand correctly, in 2019, that $34,000 consists of $10,000 for five sets of turnout gear, plus $10,000 to $12,000 for the fully expensed purchase of a skid unit, plus... somewhere between $7,500 to $9,000 of first year principal payments plus the appropriate interest payments on year one of 5 years of payment on a brush truck replacement. Do we want that all crammed in there, or do we want to break that out? Because I don't know, if you look at this, it doesn't jump out and tell you, oh, we're going to replace a vehicle, we're planning on year one of a 5-year amortization schedule.
Yeah, I agree. No, it doesn't.
Okay, I think we need to reorient where that stuff goes.
But if turn on here would be an operating supply.
Okay, I just unplugged.
See, the way that a lot of this used to be set up is there was line items for that stuff. Like going into this year, he knows he wants to buy a new brush truck.
Right, right.
There's its own account set up that says purchase a brush truck.
Oh, that would be great. Yeah.
That's what we're going to
That's need. Perfect. Yeah.
But what you got when we transitioned from the last two fiscal officers, like the fire department went from having 15 line items to 5 because the present fiscal officer didn't want all those numbered accounts, wanted it condensed into a smaller thing. But if you really want to track your budget, you want all those lines because then you know when it goes to him and I marked that it was small tools and hand equipment, he knows what fund to take it out of.
Exactly.
And or you know,
it's no different when I purchase something for the hall. At the top of that bill, it's marked for hall, so he knows that's got to come out of the hall fund.
But I make assumptions that it's small tools and minor equipment, cleaning supplies. I mean, there is some level of detail I need to get, or if I don't get the level of detail, I'm going to make a guess. And so that's what's really happening, unless it's so obvious. You know, like a contracted service is different than a payment to a political subdivision. And in this case, I know what that is. That's a payment to the city of Oregon for dispatching services. But as a contracted service for the fire department, the tile, the trench work, probably, right? Or the hose testing. I mean, other things that get identified.
Right. Yeah, there's a lot that could go into that. A lot of things. I mean, you could have, you know, why did just out of curiosity, like switching Jennifer Howard out of there? I mean, she's a contracted service.
So we can see the what we're paying her. And to justify, because then what you want to do is say...
Because what you're saying, you want to put all of the cost for completing those reports in this line item.
Well, Tony and I thought that's a good idea, because if we want to say, look how much money we saved or didn't save.
Yeah.
Okay, because that's important to see if that's something that's going to be a benefit to the township, to him. Because we don't know. I mean, it could be a flop, but we could be paying more to a department member to do this work because they're less efficient. But I don't know until you
You have to decide. Do you either say we're going to put both the contracted services for Jennifer Howard plus the salaries for the same purpose in the one same line, or do we want to, I mean,
cause you could
take the risk of adding two lines. One is the contracted services for it, and one is the salaries paid for the same purpose. And you're right. We should see it transition. But either way.
But there is a little unflexibility, that's not the right word. When it comes to the end of the year and you're moving, because I will be doing this in 19, I'll be moving money within the fund to pay for bills that we're short on because we budgeted too much over here. That will still happen, and then we'll throw all this off. But it's just natural that you're going to say, man, I missed the mark. I spent too much on operating supplies, but I spent both diddly on whatever.
But this, and again, as I said, this is a learning curve. So this is to say,
absolutely.
If the chief's got $100,000, he's going to spend on miscellaneous operating expenses, and he blows that budget out this year, he's going to know next year he's going to have to.
It's already apparent.
Yeah.
Because you have less, you do the math.
Right.
Boy, we don't know what's carrying over, and don't assume that you have that, right?
Yeah.
Because it's what the reality. Some of this is, I guess, is too, like, I'm rollbacks. You'll see that little highlighted there. Operating supplies was less, but I had rollbacks that I didn't account for. That's going away. That rollback from the state money is going away. So you're assuming you're going to get less than this year, but I don't know when it's going to expire. It's expiring as every year it's less and less. So that's why I'm just conservative with income. Grants.
I think that's smart.
Tony, you said you had what? Grants and $15,000 for the extractor and $5,000 in miscellaneous. I mean, that's
correct.
Those are known $15,000, right? And then the additional EMS grants, right? Or
we have an EMS grant and a fire marshal's grant that, you know, helps to offset the cost of the fire and EMS training. so we can submit for those and get reimbursed for it.
Well, some things that Tony and I padded on is salaries, because you have no idea what 2019's call volume is going to be.
True.
And you got to pay your people, and that's something where you just don't know. You can kind of see where it's set up now. One change that's noted in here, and I'm talking for you, Tony, so I'm sorry.
No, you're fine.
But
these are everything you and I had already talked
about. Yeah. So that that SOP change, right, with how we're looking at paying our people, is going to tighten, in that we're going to push more to credits and less to hourly, and hourly is going to be kept back to hourly, like maintenance work, painting the walls in the station, versus I do a public, I go to work the HFP race, and I'm going to get an hourly pay. Well, we're going to push it to a credit. So that number is going to skew. And, Bo, you're familiar with the credit system, and that system is hard to realize what you actually had happen, because you're throwing in drills, and you're throwing in training, and you're throwing in public special events and calls.
And you don't know if you're going to run over. Especially with, like, now things are changing. If it goes over, I don't remember what you had in there exactly, hour and a half, then you get another credit. So, and them are all things that could just...
What's it going to end up?
Boom.
I have no idea.
It's a very tough one.
Others are real straightforward. Tax collection fees, you can look at history. Water, sewage, natural gas. Salaries of trustees, and that percentage... That percentage, remember, you'll see that across all these budgets where these funds pay for your salaries and mine. That's a straight percentage. To be honest with you, whatever you write down on your sheet, I'm still keeping it that same percentage because I'm setting these appropriations that way. But you guys are in line anyways, because if you look at the average, it's still close. You spend more time on fire and less time on rec. And, percentage-wise, it's very consistent. So, but you'll see that comment in there also. And when road and bridge and general fund gets sent to you like this, it'll be very similar, So.
All right, well, some stuff to digest and go through, right?
So I do have another question. Down in the income section, the fourth line from the bottom, property tax allocation. And then on the side it says rollback. Sorry, I'm just not real familiar with what that is. That's roll forward from the prior year that wasn't spent?
How do I describe it? I'm not very good at understanding it myself. But the state of Ohio, like 10 years ago, said that we are not renewing this payment to municipalities and townships. And what it was doing was withholding money at the state level and redistributing it to townships, villages, municipalities at the local level. But it's based on what's happening is it's not expiring. They didn't renew it. So the money is getting less every year. Eventually we'll have no rollback money to us.
Okay.
I don't know the history, the origin. I've only found a few articles about it. It's a payment that we receive, and I don't know how it's determined. It's just given to us through the county auditor. Okay. It's very interesting. Dave and Rubenstein even couldn't. Because I want to know specifically what do you mean? How is this number figured out? And it's not an easy calculation. So we get some random state money through those rollbacks, but that's disappearing. So I was very conservative in that.
Okay. All right. So my understanding is then that Joel, you and Chief Tony are going to take the operating supplies line and then break that out.
We'll just have to add.
So that there's a for
the
turnout
truck,
gear
for the truck.
And wherever should turnout gear go in its own line or
just listed as safety equipment.
Okay.
Just do a safety equipment line.
And then you've got the fully expensed purchase of a skid unit that won't be depreciated, and then you've got the principal and interest payments on what you're planning on depreciating over a 5-year useful life for the brush truck.
So we're not actually making those payments, we're just holding that money?
It's an anticipated purchase. I think we're all coming into this saying that If you think you need to buy it in 2019, you better budget for it. Because if you come forward in the middle of the year, say, I've decided that, we're going to say, is it in the budget? No.
Yeah, I mean, so I like the ambulance payment has its own, is under principal payments, interest payment, that's payments we're making.
Yeah, because that's the only outstanding payment schedule you've got going right now, right?
That's correct.
And that ends up, that expires in 2020. That's fully paid then, okay.
So safety.
But see, do you want, like my question is, do you want to, should the budget be broke down more to say that I'm going to, for specifics? Like, I think turnout gears is very specific.
But then you could justify with all these other things. And I don't want, I don't want 10 extra accounts that become no good next year. And it becomes a nightmare. An operating supply is turnout gear.
I see what you mean.
An operating supply is latex gloves. An operating supply is a Nomex hood. Call it safety equipment. You can say whatever you want. I mean, the thing is that for my sake, it's not that I need to worry about that tracking. He does.
Yeah.
Only thing I need to know is what fund it comes, what account it comes out of. He needs to know from his.
As long as he has the supporting detail behind that fund line item, and he can say, oh, yeah, it's $21,000, $10,000 is 5 sets of Tronc gear, and the other $11,000 is
would always be
all these rubber gloves. Yeah.
I do not want to be the one that comes back to him and micromanages or dictates if we pay this bill or not.
Yeah.
My goal is to say, Tony, you wrote on this bill that it's for small tools and minor equipment. I mean, you could just abbreviate it. I don't really care, right?
Sure.
Put a post-it note and write it. You don't need the account code. Just find shorthand. That's not my job to question that because that's not what I do. You guys question his purchases when you approve the payment listing. But
it's got to be transparent enough that we have some information that we can ask questions. Exactly. It can't be, well, I don't know what questions to ask.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So how much detail do you want to get with the department head? Because I understand, too, from in the past, it got so hot that it became counterproductive.
No, we don't. Yeah, we don't.
You understand that can go that way, right?
No, we don't.
You say,
I trust you
that you were going to spend $25,000 in operating supplies, and you believe that of that, safety and turnout gear is way more important than some other purchase.
Sure. Yeah.
But then for my sake, I want to pay the bill on time, and I want it to be smooth from his office to mine. Because what will happen is I'll still get these bills whether he sees them or not. So does our process change to where I forward everything to his office except for the obvious ones like electricity and telephone, the ones that are...
No, you're right. It should be as self-explanatory as possible.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Well, and the other thing that we could do to eliminate what you're saying there, Joel, of making it too cumbersome for you to get through, and you're not necessarily micromanaging the fire department. What one thing I would like to see is because of how you could bury it in these lines.
Yeah.
Is I would like to see if the chief says, I plan on just a side note. I plan on putting 10 new sets of fire gear in this year.
Mm.
And it's, I don't care where it's coming out of, you know, whatever one you say it's coming out of, you know, whatever fund.
I'd like to be told that too. Like,
yeah, but that's kind of what I would like
too,
to see.
Right, as well.
This is great, but I would also like to see, hey, I have anticipation of buying a truck this year, a brush truck. I have anticipation of buying 10 new sets of turnout gear. I'm going to buy 5 sets of SCBAs, you know, them are the kind of things that I want to look at too. I'd like to see, kind of on a side note, your big purchases of what you plan on buying, you know, because it, you know, you could, yeah, I don't have nothing on it, and then just pop up with something. I'm going to be like, well, wait a minute here.
So in summary,
so let me take a stab at that. Yeah. And you guys may need to temper me because I'm coming from my experiences with a really big organization that had years and years to refine its budgetary process. However, there may still be some things that we can learn that address our issues. So I'm envisioning, Chief, that you've got a detailed list behind this. And so You know, you can go to a line item, and it can be very clearly labeled so that Joel knows, okay, I can tell what's going to go in there. But your detailed list says, oh, the money I've got in there is broken down this way. If it's 50,000, I've got 10,000 for five sets of turn-on gear. I've got 15,000 for yada, yada, yada. And basically, so that if somebody says, so what's in there? You can pull that, and it'll be more than one sheet of paper. It'll probably be a whole series of pages, but it's going to have all of your detail, all of your assumptions, because trust me, a year from now, when in November of 19, and somebody says, so what did you put in there when you were doing this in November of 18? You're going to say, I don't exactly remember, unless I've got my list and I can look it up and I can tell you exactly what I put in.
Because this really isn't a budget. This is more of an appropriation.
This is for appropriations. Yeah. But to be fair to him and to the board and the public monies, my role is to keep this clean.
Yeah.
Right.
Because that's what the auditor is going to look at. They're going to say, well, I mean, I have a questionable purchase, but you paid it under contract and service. They don't, unless it shouldn't be paid under that.
We're going to want it to be consistent. What goes in the category should be pretty consistent from year to year.
Yeah.
Not moving all over the place, in which case you can't.
And then that also changes, though, with the administration of the fire department also, because they could one swing around and say, hey, we're going to, but that's the detail. The devil's in that detail. Yeah.
So we need a more of a detailed budget from the chief. This is the appropriations. It could be this as simple
as making tabs in Excel and
exactly.
Especially if you don't have to mark, at least you see it. And if it's a running total for each account, because some of those are going to be where he's not going to know what he spent in electricity. I'm going to dictate that when I go to pay the bill.
That's going
to
be.
And he's going to have to just check with the fiscal officer and say, hey, how are we doing on electricity? I see we're almost to the end of the year, and I want to know how we did. Oh, man, we didn't spend enough, or man, we looks like we're, maybe I'll be taking money. And if I start moving money within that fund to pay that bill, maybe that's where I have that conversation with him and say, Tony, your natural gas bill was way higher than what we expected, so I'm going to have to take it from one of these other accounts or from the general fund, right? Or...
Now let me ask that question. Yeah. So if the natural gas expenses are in excess of what we put in the line item, mm-hmm. do we actually want to go and charge some of those bills to a different line item where there is money? I can see all kinds of problems with that. Or do we say, we're going to need to do a transfer. We're going to need to transfer some appropriated dollars from one line to another line. But natural gas is always going to go on the same line. So that when next year you look back, you're going to say, oh, look at, I actually used 150% of the prior year. That's a good input for my budgeting going forward.
Well, you're going to see what you actually paid versus what you appropriated.
Yeah.
And you're going to see you probably move money in there.
Right, right. Okay? So
to give more natural gas to keep it in the fund.
So you'd prefer to move money and keep the expenses consistent in the same line.
Yeah, the thing is that the rules dictate that only some things can be paid out of various funds.
Right.
And so natural gas, like in our situation as an example, the meter for the fire department is separate than the meter for everything else. So that's an easy one. But then it gets kind of a gray area, and that is like electricity. Because now you're just saying, man, you're looking at these bills, and I've identified all those different places. We're paying street lights and pumps. And so you got to make some assumptions that of the electricity bill for this complex, probably 50% of it is the fire department's.
75.
But what's the number, right?
Yeah.
So I'll cut you off on the generator.
So those are some things that the fiscal officer is making that decision. Because they say, and they're looking and saying, well, water bill, probably the fire department. But, fuel, we already worked that out. Fuel is that a contracted service? Is that an operating supply? I don't know. It's an operating supply. But we contract with a company to the fire department's purpose. We contract with the fire with a certain company to provide the fuel. But in the case of Road and Bridge, he has it as an operating supply.
That's a day-to-day operation. You're going to use fuel to make your business.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. So, but you're splitting that bill. That's a huge bill.
We shouldn't be splitting it.
80-20.
Okay. So I think the unfortunate thing, and you hit it on the head, though, is that this is going to be less detailed than what each department head is going to have. Though he has more than, let's say, Road and Bridge, which Road and Bridge has larger projects that pay larger amounts, and then they have some miscellaneous, but it is pretty isolated to repairs to vehicles and uniforms and electricity, that portion, and that little stuff, right? But the fire department's going to be the toughest of that, the general fund being the second toughest, right? Because, man, you got all those other things that you just...
Yeah, right, right.
You know, your electric could be easier to solve if you wanted to do it, but that would take somebody reading the meter. The trustees that were here when that was all done didn't want to put a dummy meter out here, so every month you go take the meter reading, and then you could break the electricity down a little more even if somebody was worried they were being cheated.
Yeah.
Like the Road and Bridge Fund, I got a little two-car garage down there, and I take the bulk of it. So.
Oh, I don't know about that.
But that was the option then, right along with running three-phase back here, but they were too cheap to put three-phase into this building.
So, I mean, these types of things sometimes are never going to be pitfalls, I guess, to this. Fund accounting, this is the biggest pitfall to this type of system. So, I don't know if there's any other questions I can answer.
All right.
But let me ask a question, a clarifying question. I don't want to break out, like, unless we're going to really want to designate that we're going to make a principal payment for the fire truck, the pickup truck, a loan, because I'm going to try to avoid multiple accounts. I
mean, sure.
It's nice to have a safety account, but for the fund accounting purpose.
So you're saying that you'd like to, if there's two different loans, you'd like all the principal payments to go into the principal
payment
line?
Well, there'd be one, yeah. But I would break,
because there's one outstanding right now until 2020, and if a second one kicks in 19,
go in the same,
they both go in the same way.
But I would open a purchase order for each one,
right?
Because that has to happen. And that's the one thing that should happen is that if you, Toledo Edison's going to have a purchase order open for to pay electricity out of this fund, and when those become encumbered balances, then you really see what you have not encumbered to spend.
So Tony, if you end up doing this as Joel described, you can have a spreadsheet with a series of tabs, and you could, you know, any of these complex line items could be a separate tab, and then you could go in there and you could say, well, I've got $27,000 in principal payments, and $17,000 is for this vehicle, and $10,000 is for that vehicle, and that there, and there's your detail that a year later you can say, oh yeah, here's how I put it in, so I'm going to budget next year, and I know that this one's paid for, so I know what the number's going to be for year two and beyond.
Yeah.
So it just makes it easier for you in the future. And then if anybody's got questions, all you have to do is pop it open, and you can tell them exactly what's in there. Yeah.
Yeah. One of the big changes this year was being able to see the bills that were paid. Prior to, I never got to see what was paid. I never knew anything of what got paid, and I'm not bringing it up as a complaint. I'm just bringing it up as a reality of
it's a new world
to be conscious of what's being done. You know.
Yeah. Right.
I mean, it was all being handled.
Yep.
So, and that's where it was.
Yeah, it's good. I mean, it's gonna be new for everybody because, you know, even Kevin. I mean, Kevin's gonna go face the same firing squad here in a couple weeks. You know, and.
Bad choice of words.
Yeah. We handle
everything, so my budget will stay the same.
We just got to have foresight in stuff of what's coming down the pike. You know, what are you planning on? You know, because if you tell me I'm planning on buying a fire or a brush truck next year and you come back and say, well, we're buying a $500,000 fire engine instead, I'm going to be like, whoa, wait a minute here, you know.
Well, we put in for a grant.
Yeah.
You know, so...
And with some grants, you may have to pay a participation amount. Mm-hmm. But if you're receiving a $300,000 vehicle, are you not going to participate your $3,000?
Right. Yeah, that stuff's minor. In my opinion, but.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. I used that example because that's exactly what did happen.
You also have Star Ohio money, which can be used for that if you don't have it in your appropriated funds. You have to request from the county that you're going to use those funds. You need to appropriate them, and then, of course, if it gets expensed in that year. So if you have to pay up front and then get reimbursed for that fire truck, well, then that's the work out will have to be done.
Yeah.
But that's not a planned one anyways. So I think for me and you guys, you're paying bills, you're signing checks, and you don't see the detail
right. And
how that bill for, applies to him. That's tough. You see that.
Okay.
Motion to adjourn.
Sure, I'll second your motion to adjourn.
Anything else? Anything, Dave? You got anything? No, I make a motion to adjourn.
Okay.
And it was seconded. Okay, hold on. It's done.
All right.
Mark Sattler. Wanted me to be short.
Okay. Roll call. Dave Bench.
Yes.
Mark Sattler.
Yes.
Bo Miller.
Yes.
A motion carried. Carried.